Okay, we're picking up 11 lines from the bottom. Yer Ches Amad Beit, where the words of Gufa. So we're going back to the statement of Rav Bar Chana. Zok the Gemara. Amar Rav Bar Chana, Amar B'yoychadan, Asr Lichtav, Ois Acha Shalom Nekstav, that it's Asr to write even one letter from El Sefer Torah, to be a sofer and write one letter, unless you're copying from a text that's in front of you. Zok the Gemara Meisve, we have a Kasha. The Brice is Ramashim, Malazar Meisve, Rabbi Meir. Shalach La'abre Shana Ba'asya. So what's happened to Meir? Went to Asya to add an extra month to the year. They realized that in their calculation, they needed to add an extra month. V'lo Ayasham Megillah. There was no Megillah there. It was around the time of Purim. They're going to add another Sheni. A Kasva Malibo Vikara. And he wrote it from memory and he read it. So this holds that you don't have to use a text. How did Rabbi Meir do this? And Rabbi Meir, no. Amar Babo, Shani Meir. Rabbi Meir is Mekayim Bei V'Afa Pecha Yisharu Negdecha. He's a fulfillment of the pasuk that V'Afa Pecha is literally the pupils of your eyes, so look straight in front of you. What does this mean? Amar Rabbi Chamar, Rabbi Yirmiyahu Difti, Mai V'Afa Pecha Yisharu Negdecha. What does this mean? The pupils of your eyes should look straight in front of you. Amar Loim, Elu Divrei Torah, these are the words of Torah, Dechsev, Bo Yisavet Necha Ve'inin. The Gemara Brachos says that if you close your eyes for a moment, you forget about the Torah Kilu for a day, like Yushalmi says, that you forget it for a day, I'm going to leave you for 2 days, that a person leaves the Torah, scary vort. But it always needs to be on your mind constantly. Even when you're on a break or a vacation, you still have the Torah within you, obviously, learning. And Daf Yomi is one of the amazing things that has that obligation also, no matter where you're going, you should be fulfilling your Daf every single day. Now the Gemara says, Vafilu ha'achim yosher ha'etzel Rabbi Meir. And even so, that the words, they're always straight in front of Meir, that he, even if he left a ki'ilu for a day, he had such an unbelievable memory that he wouldn't forget anything. So Meir was the exception to the rule that every single thing he forgot. You know, we had someone, we were Zochah, Rav Avadya, lived in our Torah Mamish, unbelievable stories just give one. That Rav Shechter says that Rav Soloveitchik once was giving a shir, and he was giving a shir when he was actually interviewing for Tel Aviv. I think it was the one and only time he went to Eretz Yisrael. He was interviewing to be the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv, Baruch Hashem, for those in America, that he didn't get it, because we were Zochah to have him. Anyway, so he was giving a shir in Tel Aviv, and so he was giving a shir, different kolim as a part of the introduction, or whatever, part of the test. He was giving a different shirim. So he was giving a certain kolel, and he was giving a shir in the Rashba, and he needed to see the Rashba inside. And the page that the Rav Soloveitchik needed was actually ripped out. And they said, don't worry, there's somebody here who knows the whole Rashba Baal Peh. What do you mean who knows the whole Rashba Baal Peh? He knows every single Rashba. I'm quoting you a Rashba, whatever it was. He said, let's get in the middle of Gin, he's going to quote me at the Rashba Baal Peh, the exact words for word of the Gin. He said, yeah, don't worry. So he said, okay, what daf do you need? So he said it to this Kol Avrich, okay, I need daf Lamed, the Rashba over there. So he started from the top of the daf, and he was quoting Baal Peh, the Rashba, word for word. And he said, no, stop right there. And those two lines that he was trying to make the diyuk from, though he said over there, that's what I'm focused on, those two lines. And he quoted the Rashba word for word as it was. So Soloveitchik was mispaleh that this Avrich, this person who knew all the Rashba, but he never said who it was. He didn't know who it was. He used to tell the Talmud about this. And Rav Shechter was wondering who this was. He said one time he met with Ravadia's children. He asked, was your father in such and such kolel at the time when Rav Soloveitchik was giving the shir? And he said, yes, that was my father. Was in the kolel. They found out it was Ravadia. Unbelievable memory that he had. Anyway, so this Rav Meir also. Rav Meir has a photographic memory. Every single thing he knew. Rav Chista, Ashkeged, Rav Chanana, Davei Ksav, Sfarim Shulman Aksav. Rav Chista found that Rav Chanana was writing it also from memory, not from a text. Amalei, what do you mean? Rav Kotorah Kolech Tobacha. Enacham, you're a great giant in Torah. The whole Torah can be written from your memory. Alakachar Macham, this is a Gzera of Chazal. Asr Lichtov Osacha Shulman Aksav, that you're not allowed to write one letter from the text. So Gemara says, Midakamar Kol Torah Kolech Tobacha Picha. Now, according to Rav Chista, said to Rav Chanana, was giving him the compliment, the entire Torah should be written from your memory. The words of Torah were straight in front of Chananel, similarly to Rabbi Meir. Harav Meir Ksasa, but Rabbi Meir, in a similar circumstance, did write the whole Megillah. So Gemara says, no, Shasad Chak Shaini, that in a case where it's a pressing matter, we know Shasad Chak is B'Yavidami, that Shasad Chak is already like it's B'Diyav, it's a crazy circumstance, then you could be more Megillah than in general. However, the case of Rav Chananel, he was not doing it as Shasad Chak, so then he was telling him that there's a Gzera Chazal, you need to look at the text. However, Rav Meir had no Megillah, he was not going to be able to read a Megillah, there he was, the Meir was the exception to the rule that he was allowed to write it from his memory. Now the Gemara says, Rabbi Yashar Levei Bar Chabo, Rabbi permitted the members of Bar Chabo, Lemichtav Tefillah Mezuzah Shom Naksav, they write Tefillah Mezuzahs from memory without copying it from a text. Gemara says, come on, who is Abaye following? Ki Aitana, he follows the following, Tanya in the Braisa, Tanya, Rabbi Yirmiyahu Meshem Rabbeinu, Rabbi Yirmiyahu said the name of Rabbeinu, Tefillah Mezuzahs Nechtavah Shalom Naksav, that Tefillah Mezuzahs are written from memory without copying them from a text. Vein Tzrich L'Sirta, they also, another halacha, just to some agav point about Tefillah Mezuzahs, they don't need the etching of the lines on the parchment, you don't need to etch the lines out. If you look at a Sefer Torah, you have those etched lines, it's easier. We said this, halacha L'Moshe Mishina, that you need them. That's Sirtut. So now the halacha is that tefillin don't require these etched lines. That's actually a shadar. Rabbi Natam says that you do need etched lines on the top. And the Ramah says further that they need etched lines on the side and the bottom, but not maybe the actual writing in the middle. They not need all etched lines. Mezuzah, tzrich and tzirta. However, mezuzahs do require the etched lines. If you look at mezuzah, you'll see the etched lines of mezuzahs. Both tefillin And both tefillin and mezuzahs can be written from memory. Gemara asks, my time, why is tefillin and mezuzahs different? Because everyone knows them. They're pesukim and shema. So tefillin has the arba pesukim also, the other parashas also that you say those every day. So in the minhag, we say those every day. People know those pesukim, so we're not afraid of it. Obviously, this was only a person who is going to be familiar. I'm pretty sure, because honest, that a sofer for sure is using a ksav in front of him, even though the halacha, the strict halacha, might be that he's allowed to. I would be shocked if... So from aren't using the text in front of them. Now, maker din in a chanami, that it could be that it's mutter. Now the Gemara continues. Ha'isak su b'sam. Megillah is written with the sam. The Gemara says, what is the sam? Sam is sama. That's the type of whatever this sam is. Sikra, what is sikra? Sikra shmasa, that the name is sikra, a type of a red dye that Rashi says used to color things with it. This red dye. Kumus is kuma. It's a type of sap from a tree. It's very interesting. It's like, again, the beginning of the first paragraph also has a lot of these things. Kankantum, because also, I didn't get with these things also. Charta to ushpich, what is kankantum? It's a shoemaker's thing that he uses to blacken. Shesovan memenayim shchor, Rashi says. Diftera, what is diftera? Demaliach vel kamitzah vel afetz, that's an unfinished parchment. And it was salted and treated with a mixture of flour and water, but it wasn't treated with afetz, it's gallnuts. Niyar mechaka, niyar is... Machaka is assumed to be, I think, papyrus type of material. Achdek suva ashuris, that Megillah must be written in ashuris. Dechsev kichsav muksav asmanam, and we learn from there, as is written, implied in ashuris, this ksav. Allah say for bidyo, on a parchment with black ink. Min Allah, how do we know that Megillah must be written from black ink? I say ksiva ksiva. Ksiva chavadit levester malchus, it's over there that she wrote. Uksivasim exereshava, yemer lam barach, pepev yikra alel kulvarima ila. Vani kosev Allah sefer bidyo. It says explicitly in this pasuk in Yirmiyahu that Baruch was writing something and he was dictating me all these words and I wrote them on our parchment with ink with the dio. And so we have exereshava the ksiva ksiva, rather, to teach you that Megillah also needs to be written in this black ink. Now the Gemara continues, next Mishnah. We're up to another Mishnah, more alachav here. The Mishnah tells us, ben ir shalach lekrach, if a town, a person who lives in a ben ir, in a place where it's not walled cities, and he went to a walled city, uben krach shalach leir, and a guy who lives in a Yerushalayim, let's say, lives in a walled city, and then he goes to outside Yerushalayim, imasid lachsa makoma, if he's going to go back to his place where he lives, korea kamakoma, he only has to read it for the place that he's going to be. The Gemara is going to discuss what exactly this means. I mean, again, it means, strictly speaking, that if I live in Yerushalayim, Zochet, I live in Yerushalayim, if I go to the 14th, I plan on coming back to Yerushalayim on the 15th, that's what strictly speaking means, that I read on the 15th. The Gemara is going to qualify this. Halacha, v'imla velver, from not returning on the 15th to Yerushalayim, korea imai, and then I will read on the same day as the place where I'm visiting on the 14th. Let's say I'm in Bnei Brak, then I'll read on the 14th. Mehechan korea adamas megillah v'yotzeh chavas. Now, just Gemara is pointing out which part is essential to hear the Megillah. Rav Meir Omer Kuli, you have to read every from the beginning va'yib me'achasher till the very end. That you need to read the whole thing. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ish Yudi, no, from only Ish Yudi. The Gemara is going to analyze why each one says what they said. Rabbi Yosi Omer me'achar d'Rav Meir. Rabbi Yosi says from after these things until the end. Now the Gemara says, this is a vague Gemara, it's a big machlokas, we've shown them how to understand this. Amar Rava, lo shana ela shazid lachsa b'leili adalat. That this halacha is a person who lives in the city, he's going to return to a city on the night of the 14th. Aval ein asid lachsa b'leili abasar. But a person who is dwelling in the... is not going to return. And the night of the 14th, since he will not be at the town, this is how Rashi understands it. He's going to be that he's not going to be at Alos HaShachar the morning of the 14th. He's not going to be there. Kora imayin, that he reads with them like on the 14th and not at the town that he's visiting. So a person normally is living, let's say, in a walled city, and he goes to an unwalled town the evening of the 14th until after he plans on being there, until after Alos HaShachar of the morning of the 14th, then he's chayav like he is the 14th, and he'd be chayav in his obligations of Megillah. However, if he plans on leaving before, at the night of the 14th, plans on leaving before Alos HaShachar, even actually ends up being stuck there, the Chazon Ish explains. I looked at the Chazon Ish inside, he has a lot of all these different permutations. He goes to the Rishonim, a nice piece in the Chazon Ish, if everyone wants to look it up. They're very complicated lachos over here. There's a whole pamphlets written about this, because it's nogea. People want to come to Yerushalayim or vice versa and visit other places. They have to know the halachas of when you're going to be chayav, when you're not. So the Chazon Ish assumes, just halacha lemaisa, just to point out, let's like, live in your dalet, you're there in your dalet, and you plan on being there in the morning, that's fine. When do you have to come to Yerushalayim if you want to be chayav? According to the Chazon Ish, I think there are those who disagree with him, the Chazon Ish maskana was that you have to be there before the night of Tezvav, when you come into Tezvav, and then you have to man to be sleeping there, and then in the morning, if you're there by daybreak, by the morning, then you're going to be chayav in all the mitzvahs hayom. That's how the Chazon Ish seems to come out. Others explain that no, if you're there by Elos HaShachar, even if you come after the night, it would be potentially a chayav. Again, there are very interesting halachas. This is a very vague Gemara. The Gemara doesn't say exactly what this means. That's why it leads to machlokas in the Rishonim that part of him. How do I know to say this halacha that a person who is visiting, even if he's only there part of the day, is not necessarily going to be chayav? It's going to be chayav or not chayav. It says the Jews of the unwalled cities who live in unwalled towns. Michti, let's analyze this. It already says that the Jews who are in unwalled places. Why does it need to say they lived in unwalled towns? Kamash Milan. The paras ben yama nikra ber paras. And a person who's living in an unwalled place, even for just the day of the 14th, is considered like a person who lives on the 14th, and he's going to be chayev with respect to the lachos of Megillah. So zok the Gemara eshkachan paras. So now we find that there's a source for the person who's living in the 14th. He's going to be visiting on the 14th. He should be reading on the 14th. However, mukaf minalan. From where do I know that the same halacha is going to apply to someone who becomes is going to be chayev in the tesvav? The svara, the Gemara says, it's just a simple explanation. It's a svara. It's a logical explanation. If a person is going to visit a person who lives outside of a walled city, lives on the 14th, he's considered like a 14th guy. Then mukaf ben yom kari mukaf. So then a person who's living in the walled city today that we're regarding as a walled city, then it would pashut, he should be reading on the 14th as well. Now the Gemara continues. Ben kfar shalach le'ir. If a person who's a villager who read the Megillah earlier, like we saw on the Daf Beis in the Mishnah, right? The very first Mishnah, Yudalaf and Beis and Gimel, Yudalaf. You can read Yudalaf and Beis and Gimel. So he happened to read Yudalaf and Beis and Gimel that year, and then he came to a city on the day of the 14th. Ben kach, it doesn't matter if he's going to remain in the town the morning of the 14th or not. If he's going to leave before daybreak, Korah Imayan, he reads it, he's obligated to read the night of the 14th with the people of the town. The Gemara says, "My time. What is the reason for this chumrah that it's not considered like we saw before? It's not going to be kaveya nikba based on the halos shachar. Hakim na'ir by the mikra, because really this villager is chayav to read it on the night of the 14th. Rabbanu de kila akfarim, and the rabbanu are makel on the villagers because kedei shesav lemay mazin lachem shebekrachim. So be available on the 14th to provide food for the sudas purim for the people who live in the towns. Very interesting. Gemara is picking the havamina. The Gemara actually assumes that it's not over here. Rather, it's for the villagers because they provide food to their towns. Okay, that's a shaila, but Gemara assumes that like the havamina over there. Hanemeliki, I say beduchte. Now this leniency applies only to a villager who is in his place. He's in his village on the 14th. Aval ki isa beir. But a villager who is in town on the 14th of Adar, kivnei yir ber the mikra. Then he must read it on the same day the residents of the town. So the Gemara asks a kasha, Esev, Abaya asks a kasha on Rava's halacha, Bein Krach Shalach Yir, based on the Gehemshah of a Braisa. The Braisa says, if a person who lives in a city went to a walled city, went to an unwalled city, Bein Krach, Bein Krach, Korach HaMakom, he reads it the same day of his place of his residence. The Gemara says, Bein Krach, Sakadekum, now can it be that we're talking about a person who lives in a walled city going to an unwalled city, but that the Braisa wouldn't make any sense in the halacha because the halacha is dependent on whether or not he's returning in the morning of the 14th or not. So rather the Braisa can't be talking about a person living in a walled city, rather it's referring to a villager. And telling us the halacha is, he reads it on the same place of his village, and he does not need to repeat the Megillah on the 14th. This is against Rava. The Gemara says, "V'lav terutim etartish," but you don't anyway have to correct the text of the Braisa to read the halacha of a kfar. It doesn't say kfar; it says ben krach. So you have to fix and amend the Braisa to tell you that it means a kfar. So therefore, instead of fixing it to mean that he reads it as his place as his kfar, tane kora imayin, once I'm amending the Braisa anyway, so amend it to the way that I'm saying the Braisa. And that means that you have to read it on the 14th with the people of the town that he is now in. Now the Gemara continues, Be'echan koras and Megillah, from where was man read the Megillah? The Gemara quoted three shitas from where do you have to read the Megillah to fill obligation. Says the Gemara, tane within a Braisa, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, another shita, fourth shita now. Melai lahud, another shasa melech, we know that was like the ikar, the melech malchus shalom, we saw before, as referring to Kach Baruch Hu, that night, Rachmanis of Hashem, very big miracles were starting to happen. That was when Achashverosh said the Zefer Zichronos. And now the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kulan Mikra Acha Darshu. They all learn out from the same pasuk. By Tichlov Esther, Malka, Mordechai, Di, Eskola Tokev, they wrote down all of the things that happened, all the acts of power that were happening. And the Gemara continues, the pasuk in Megillah continues the Kayam Esigeres HaPurim to continue this letter of Megillah, the Megillah. So the Gemara is saying that we see over here that what does this mean over here? Ma'adamar kula, what is the tokef, the power of the Megillah? Kula tokla shal Achashverosh, the power means the power of Achashverosh. He was a king at the time. You have to read the Achashverosh is the power mentioned throughout, and since it's the very beginning, Vayim Achashverosh is the very beginning of the Perek Aleph, you have to read the whole Megillah. That is the first Shita. Ma'adamar mi'ish Yehudi, and so the one Ma'adamar says that it's from Ish Yehudi, so then he holds tokla shal Mordechai. No, what is the power that we're mentioning in this pasuk? It mentions the power of Mordechai. His strength. So now the one that says Achad, who is this strength from Haman? And we know Haman was the person who was trying to kill the Jews, and Hashem had Rachmanos on Klal Yisrael, and he reversed what Haman had wanted to do. So what is the man Amar who says that it's coming from Lailahu? That's Tukval Shonais. That the power, the great power, that's the miracle. The miracle Achashverosh miraculously wanted to Zecher Zichonos in that night. So Mordechai and that started the whole Shishal Sadorim, where Haman's downfall starts to occur. Ravuna Amar Me'acha, Umara'u, Al-Kacha Mayagi Aleim. Now Ravuna says we can bring a pasuk, but it says, what is the reason they say, what the act wanted to happen as a result? This is the pasuk in Esther. The Megillah should be written in order to inform us what exactly happened. Madam Arkula, so the one that says you have to read the whole Megillah, Mara Achashverosh, Nishtabit Bekelim, Shabbat Hamikdash, is referring to what happened. What do you mean, what happened? The drasha is that Achashverosh used the Kelim of the Beis Hamikdash, Al Kacham, Nishim Dechashiv, Shivim Shana Vilayprim, because he calculated his Cheshbon we saw earlier. He had his Cheshbon that assumed that the 7 years are up, and therefore he celebrated the Beis Hamikdash not being rebuilt. Ma'igia Elayim, the Katal Vashti, and what happened to him? He killed Vashti, but ended up being sad about that. Umanda Amar Ishi, who these sons are coming from? Mordechai, Mara, Mordechai, Dikne Bahaman. What was this that Mordechai caused Haman to be jealous of and angry at him by refusing to bow down? Because Haman made himself an idol, a form of idol worship, or he had an idol on him. So Shaila, Umayigi Alayim, the what happened to them as a result that he made this Gzera? Everyone was probably blaming him, and yet all of the Jews ended up being saved. Umanda Amar Ma'ila, the one who says it's after these things, he explains that Mara Haman Shiniskarba Chal Yehudim. What did Haman see that saw in him that he wanted to kill all the Jews? Al kacha mishum de Mordechai yelaych rev leishtacha, and Mordechai wouldn't bow down to him. Agi aleim talu osav anam elaych, that ended up being punished, mida kenegi mida, and he was killed, and all his sons were also hanged on the gallows. Umanta amar melayla, the one who says that by that night, mara chasher shlavi esefer zikonos, why dafka that night did he bring his records to see what happened? Al kacha dezim to say Esther laman bade, because the reason was that Esther invited Haman to attend the banquet of Achashverosh. Amnagi aleim, what happened that is, that was eventually the big miracle that happened. They were saved, and Haman was hanged. Amar Rabbi Chabar Mechala Amar Gimar Ab Alacha Kedivrei Amar Kula. You have to read the entire Megillah. Afilo Laman Amar Mishudi. Even according to the one who says you need to begin the Megillah from Mishudi, still Tzricha Shnei Ksuva Kula. The whole Megillah must be written in front of you when you're reading it, because you need to have the Megillah, a full Megillah, in front of you. Another word is Rama Chabar Amar Chabar Amar Gimar Ab Megillah Nikra Sefer. The Megillah is called a Sefer, which implies that some halachas of a Sefer Torah. It's also Nikra Sigaris. Nikra Sigaris, that's actually why we fold it over, and we read it like a little bit like a letter. That's where that minute comes from. But Nikra Sefer Shim Tafra Bechute Pisham Psula. What's the lacha? Is it like a Sefer Torah? We learn in the Gemara, Makos tells us that if you have sections of the Torah where it's sown with linen, that is going to be puzzle. But Nikra Sigaris Shim Mitil Bashlosha Chute Gidin Kshira. It's called a letter to teach us that if he stitched it with three strands of this gidin, of the sinews, it's going to be kosher, whereas a Sefer Torah has to be stitched along the entire, I think the entire section, right? The entire joining sections, except for the small area on the top and the bottom, but the whole area of where it's written. And the Gemara qualifies as Amar Nachman Vachim Meshulashim, that you have to be divided by three. So let's say if you have a 9-inch, if you have 9-inch stitches, it has to be that a third of it, that the 3 inches from the top, 3 inches from the bottom, are going to be, the stitches are going to be equal in order to be kosher for a Megillah. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Akor Megillah Ksuva Ben Aksuvim. If someone was reading the Megillah together with, meaning they used to have, like we have a Sefer Torah with Chamisha Chamshe Torah together, they used to have Tanakh like that also, the Nevi'im and Ksuvim, it was written all together, not like we have the Treyasar, right? And so many things written together in one Treyasar. So they used to have that just for all of Tanakh, right? Let's say all of Ksuvim together. Shira, Shira, Busecha, Kuala, Sester, Daniel, Ezra, Nechemi, right? Those things, they put all of them together in one large Sefer. So then, in that, you're not going to be Yotze. Why not? Because it has to be Negeris, which has to be separate from the fact that, and there's also person Menusa, and you're not going to know which Sefer really is, so it has to be specifically a Megillah's Esther. Amar Rava, Lo Amar Nela, Nela Machser, Mitra, Purta. However, this is only going to be if the sections of the Megillah were in the same way than the other ones. It wasn't shorter or longer. However, Machser, Mitra, Purta, Leslam, however, if they're written longer or shorter, so you could tell clearly this is the Sefer of the Megillah, then it would be kosher even if they have other Sefer Tanakh, Nevi'im and Ksuvim were attached to them, that would still be kosher. Levi Bar Shmuel have a kakari kamei de Rav Yehuda Megillah. Levi Bar Shmuel was reading before Rav Yehuda from a Megillah, turning on to next Amud Yotesim Abayz. Aksuva min aksuvim, it was written together with other ksuvim. So he says, Amr Leah Amru Hakar Megillah Ksuvim Binim Asim Leyan. So we just said you're not Yotzei. So how are you doing this? How did Levi Bar Shmuel read from there in such a Megillah? So the Gemara is saying that Ein Chanami, maybe he didn't know Salacha, but he was wrong. He shouldn't have done this. Amar Bichiam Rabbi Yochanan. Then again, according to the same halacha we said before, if you have Megillah written with other Sifrei Nevi'im, you're not fulfilled the obligation. And literally he hit it on his head, meaning he is now, he mocha mocha means that he minimized how chamor this halacha is. How does that mean? Because he only said B'tzibur Shana. They only taught this halacha in public. But if you're reading in private, it doesn't matter. Why not? So that's a shayla nechurim. The Sfasemis has an explanation. He says that because at the end of the day, they were reading it publicly. People would not really tell what it's talking about. It's detracting from the Persuma Nisa. That's the problem. However, in private, when you're reading it for yourself anyway, and the fact that the Megillah was read, even though it's not necessarily common anyway to have it in front of your eyes, the whole Persuma Nisa is on a lower level. So that case, Lechora, is not going to be a problem. Lechora, if you're in your house with a tzibor, with 10 people, then it would be the same halacha. Rabbi Yochanan would hold that that's possible as well. Now the Gemara continues. that the size of the margins is halacha l'mashina second, the parchment that are in the Sefer Torah, the stitch and the unstitched tops and the bottoms, that is halacha l'mashina b'sinai. Umachula mocha, also he minimizes this halacha by saying v'lomra ela kadesh l'yikareya, that this halacha is only that it shouldn't rip, that if the length of the whole parchment were sewn, the seams would tear whenever someone would roll it too tightly. So therefore, as she says, that therefore this halacha is only just a practical thing, that they shouldn't, that there shouldn't be a point where it's going to rip. Now we're just mentioning another statement of Rechia in the name of Rabba, in the name of Riochanan, that Ilmalin Shah Bimara, Shaman Moshe Valiao, Kmo Nacham Melod Sidki. Where do we say that Moshe was in the Mara? Rashi quotes, Shavar Kosh Baruch Lofana Shamara, Vesamdicha Benikra Tzur. I'm gonna talk to you, Kielu, in the rock, and that rock is the Ma'ara where Moshe was speaking to Kosh Baruch Hu, and also Eliyahu was in that same rock. It says, Vayavo Sham El HaMa'ara, the Ma'ara. Which Ma'ara? The Ma'ara Moshe Rabbeinu was there. So if that Ma'ara stayed open, Shemar Moshe Eliyahu, come on, Nekev Machat Sidkis, just a little tiny amount of a needle, and then Lo Yechol Amad Me'a Ora, nobody would be able to stand the light of a Kosh Baruch Hu, that they had to remain inside completely closed the cave while a Kosh Baruch Hu's presence was there. Shenemar ki lo yirna adam v'chay, because no one can see me and live, and Hashem's presence was there, so that even if the cave was completely closed, and Hashem's presence passed over them, so to speak, in the cave. The writing on them, on the luchos, was all the things Hashem said by you in the mountain. Hashem told Moshe all the halachas of the Torah, every single halacha, every din derabbanan, every single halacha, every chum, every minhag, which the chachamim are going to innovate and add. So Gemara says, "My new Mikra Megillah." What is the case of the Chachamim is going to innovate? My new, that is Mikra Megillah. It's referring to Mikra Megillah. That's going to innovate Ki'ilu, a new mitzvah, and that we already had Ramazim to it. That the reason for that. Now the Gemara continues. Hakol Kshelin Kosa Megillah. What's this Hakol? So the Gemara in Arachin tells us that Hakol of here is referencing to a woman. A woman is also Kasher Likros and Megillah. We the Machlokas earlier, Dav Dalid, that Afin Asabo Sanes is Chayav in the Megillah. So Shaila is going to be Motzi a man. Maybe their level of reading is only for a shmiya. However, to be motzi a person, a man, that's a machlokas rishonim. So that I think we are machlokas before that. We just assume that they cannot even for themselves. It's a whole shaila. There also is a chisaron to that. Rosh Hefter points that out often. That there is also chisaron to them reading even for another woman. But the evid, if you're shas chak, something else. But the lech chila make this minyan. That's a whole another point. Hakok shein across the megillah chutz mecheresh shota vekatan, except for someone. Usually cheresh is a deaf mute, but here's not mute because obviously he's able to read the megillah. So it means someone over here is deaf. Or chirish, a person who is not mentally there, or katan, a person who is a minor. Rabbi Yehuda Machshir katan, whereas Rabbi Yehuda says that a katan is going to be kosher. Now the Gemara says, what is this case of a person reading? Man tana chirish di'eved namilo. So our Tana seems to imply, from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda says it's Machshir b'katan, the Tanakama sounds like even b'di'eved, even after the fact, the katan is not valid for reading the Megillah. So Gemara says, Amar Rab Masna, who is this? Rabbi Yossi, must be the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. As the Mishnah Brachos tells us, this nan. The same sugi actually, almost a lot of this sugi basically word for word appears in the Gemara Brachos. Now, of course, Shema v'leishmila azon ayatza. That the Tanakhama tells us the person who said the Shema, he didn't hear it as obligation. Rabbi Yossi omer lo yatza. So we see that Rabbi Yossi argues and he says you're not fulfilling obligation, and that Rabbi Yossi holds that you're not yotze if you don't hear the Shema. So you're not yotze if you don't hear the Megillah. So Gemara says, "Amayd Rabbi Yossi." So who says that our Tana is Rabbi Yossi? D'yavid amilo, and it's going to say that even it's possible, even b'di'avid if you read the Megillah because you couldn't hear yourself. Maybe the Tana of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. L'chachilo d'lo, only it's preferable that a deaf person shouldn't read the Megillah. However, d'yavid shapar dami, if he did it after the fact, it's going to be kosher. The Gemara says losak adaitach. It doesn't make sense to explain that this Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda because the kind of cheresh jumid the shot of kat. It says cheresh shot of kat and lining it all up in one big mumbo jumbo thing. That all three of those things are going to be in the same halacha. If that's the case, those three things are possible even b'di'avid. Ma shot of katan d'yavid amilo, that a person who's a katan and a person who is a shota, a person who's not mentally capable of reading the Megillah, not mentally stable, so then they're not yotze. I don't mean mentally stable, mentally with it. You know, someone who's special needs, let's say. That person is not yotze Megillah, so even b'di'avid, even if they did it, even b'di'avid, even after the fact, it's going to be possible. Av cheresh d'v'yavid namilah, so too, if a cheresh, that person in the implication of the Mishnah, that even b'di'avid, you are not yotze if you hear it from him. So Gemara says maybe dima haikadi. So maybe that the case of the deaf person is talking about the fact that he's grouping together that each one has their own halachas. So that the person who's deaf is yotze b'di'avid, and the person who's a shota v'katan, they're not yotze even b'di'avid. Why can't we split up the halachas and split up the Mishnah? The Gemara says you can't split it up because also another raya that that's not the case because midikani sefer, the sefer says Rabbi Yehuda machshir b'katan. Rabbi Yehuda qualifies it and says that a katan is going to be kasher b'di'avid, kasher at least. That implies that the whole beginning part of the Mishnah was not Rebuta, because Rebuta is piping up in the Seifa and saying his Shita. So the Gemara says, no, Dilma Kula Rabbi Yehuda. So maybe the whole Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. Midami Reish Lipsilva Sefer Laksira. So the Gemara says at the beginning and the end of the Mishnah are similar, and it's possible to say that both follow Rabbi Yehuda. The beginning is talking about a katan is not going to be kasher, and at the end is saying that a kasher is going to be qualified. So the Gemara asks again, Midami Reish Lipsilva Sefer Laksira. That's a kasher. That at the end of the day, Rabbi Yehuda seemingly it would be sosher himself. He says that a katan is possible on the Reisha and the Sefer. Rabbi Yehuda saying that it's kasher. How can you say the whole Mishnah is a liba there Rabbi Yehuda? So Gemara said, no, Dilma Kula Rabbi Yehuda. No, the entire Mishnah would affect the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Trei gam katan katanalei. The Mishnah is actually following Rabbi Yehuda, and there's actually two types of people under the age of Bar Mitzvah. And this is the Mishnah that we have to amend the Mishnah. It's missing words. It's a dochak answer, but sometimes we're stuck. We do that. Hakok Shir and Likos and Megillah. Everybody is kashi to read the Megillah. Chutz Mecheresh Adav Katan, except for a person who's deaf, not mentally there, or a child under bar mitzvah. Mehmed remember that a katan is going to be not kosher. But katan shalai gila lefinach. If he's not age to be trained before the mitzvah, so let's say like 9, 10, whatever it is, before that year, we could do that. Aval, katan gila lefinach, he could sit through the Megillah. And he's able to be in the age where you're able to train him in chinuch. Afilu lechadchila, even lechadchila, he can read. Sure, Rabbi Yehuda machshir b'katan, because Rabbi Yehuda is machshir b'katan. So therefore, it's possible to list the Mishnah as the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says, "Mayu Quintus." So now you've established that the Mishnah is who? Rabbi Yehuda, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Udieved. And he's saying that Bidieved, that Bidieved, if you don't hear yourself, it's going to be kasher. So the Gemara says, "Ela Hadatan Rabbi Yehuda Brayev Pasuk Pasuk." However, we have a brisa which says, "Rabbi Shem Devin Pasuk taught us in a brisa." Cheresh Hamadav Ravina Shmei. If you have a deaf person who can speak but he can't hear what he's saying, Torah Lechachila, he's allowed to separate Shuma even Lechachila, even though he's not going to hear the bracha that he's making. That bracha he's not going to hear. So money. So who is that opinion reflected of the brisa? E Rabbi Yehuda. If you tell me that's Rabbi Yehuda, Di'evin Lechachila Lo. That Rabbi Yehuda says that that's only Bedi'evin that we cannot hear yourself. So in the case over here, we're telling it's Lechachila to make the bracha, even though you will hear yourself. It can't be that's in Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Now, if you're going to say that's Rabbi Yossi, Di'evin Amilo. Rabbi Yossi says even Bedi'evin, it's not going to be valid. So therefore, with regards to Truma, Rabbi Yossi must also know that even Bidiyevet it's going to be possible. We must therefore conclude Rabbi Yehuda holds that even the Chachila, a person allowed to say Shema without hearing anything, and the Breisa is going to be reflective of the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, Ve'ela Mai. So the Gemara is bothered by this also, that you're going to say that Rabbi Yehuda is holding Avila Chachila, that even Ela Chachila, a person could say Shema without hearing what he's saying. Ela Hadisario, that we learn another Breisa, that we have another opinion. We have a Breisa which tells us a person shouldn't bench if in his heart without saying it out loud. So understanding that the person is moving his lips and he does not hear what he's saying. That's the assumption over here of the Gemara. If you do say the bracha in this form, then you're going to be yotze. So the Gemara asks, money. Who is this opinion? Lo Rabbi Yehuda, lo Rabbi Yossi. This is neither opinion of Rabbi Yehuda nor Rabbi Yossi. E Rabbi Yehuda, because if you're going to tell me this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, then even lechachila you're allowed to bench in this circumstance because you don't hear yourself. That's totally fine. E Rabbi Yossi, now if it's following the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, afilu de'avin amilav, that even after the fact it should be not kosher. So the Gemara answers now, la'olam, Rabbi Yehuda v'afila lechachila. So actually the Braisa is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda because he holds that even lechachila, one doesn't have to hear his words. Below kasha, but there is no kasha from the Braisa which says about benching, which lechachila is possible because hadidei, the Braisa is following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda is following his own shita, the Rabbi, whereas the Braisa, which is telling us that Bidi'evid, a person lechachila should not bench if he doesn't hear himself, but Bidi'evid is kasher, that's his opinion of his Rebbe. Desana, as we learned in Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Mashir, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Korach Shema, Tzarech Shiyas Me'el Ozna. Rabbi Yehuda quotes in the name of his Rebbe, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that if you read the Shema, you have to hear yourself. Shinemar Shema Yisrael Shema Lekin Hashem Echad. You have to hear what your mouth is saying. Rabbi Meir Omer, that one does not hear those, as long as you're concentrating, it's going to be okay. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. So now, according to this, we have three shitas. Now, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda hold that even lechachila, a person does not even hear the words. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah holds that lechachila need to, and then Rabbi Yossi holds that even b'dieved it's going to be possible. Now we have three shitas, three different tanaim who are in each camp. So Gemara says, wait a second. So once you're including that the Braisa is saying this point, so Hashit Azachal, now that you come to this point that we have the Shita of Rabbi Meir, Afilu Tim Rabbi Yehuda Karabes for them. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda actually holds with his Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, holds that Lichat Chila, you should hear the words, but Yevan, it's going to be kosher if you didn't. So now the Kasha that we have, who is the Shita of the Braisa that says, Rabbi Yehuda, Prayer of Shimon Pazi that taught a deaf person, separate Shuma, that is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir, and therefore he holds that even lechachila, one does not need to hear the words. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda Machshir Rekatan, Be'ez Hashem, pick up a Shabbos daf. Hatzlacha, Rabbi, and have a wonderful Shabbos.